The sermon for today, which is Pentecost, commonly called Whitsunday, I'm calling "The Bible is the Holy Spirit's Work." And it was presented by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan. Whitsunday celebrates the occasion on which the Holy Ghost came down upon the disciples. Jesus promised to send them a comforter, a strengthener. At the Ascension, he told them not to rush off home to Galilee, but to wait in Jerusalem until he kept his promise, until they received power from on high. Pentecost was a Hebrew spring festival which took place 50 days after Passover. The Jews believed that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai at Pentecost. So by the time of Jesus, Pentecost had become a celebration of the law. The disciples had no intention of being anything other than Jews, so they were celebrating this Jewish festival when God appeared among them as a rushing mighty wind and as tongues of fire. Whitsunday is a particularly Anglican title for this holiday. The custom in the Mediterranean world was to have baptisms at Easter. It was too cold to dunk people in the river in England just then, so it was much healthier to wait 50 more days until Pentecost. The newly baptized wore white robes, hence the name White Sunday, Whitsunday. A 14th century English monk speculated that the day was called Whitsunday because it was the day on which God endowed the disciples with wit. I like that explanation too, maybe even more. The most striking manifestation of new wit on Pentecost comes in what happens to St. Peter. In the Gospels, Peter is Jesus' favorite foil. He is big and loud and loyal and headstrong, but he never quite seems to be able to figure out for himself what is going on around him. This morning's epistle records what happens to the disciples on Pentecost. The wind and fire were accompanied with a new ability to speak in languages they had never learned. Jews, who had come from all over the Mediterranean world to celebrate Pentecost, were amazed when the uneducated disciples were able to praise God in languages they had never known. The more cynical observer said, "These babbling men must be drunk." Peter said, "These men are not drunk the way you think. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning." Not always a compelling argument. Peter went on to say, wittily, that what was happening was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy made centuries before in the book of Joel. The Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, the words mean exactly the same thing, appears in the world first at the creation. During the Old Testament period, God gives his Spirit to certain people to perform certain tasks for certain lengths of time. We talk about that phenomenon in the Creed when we say that the Holy Ghost spake by the prophets. It was God's Spirit, literally inspired, breathed into them to tell them what to say. Joel said that one day God would pour out his Spirit upon everyone. He would make it possible for everyone to have as much of his power as he wanted, any time he wanted it. St. Peter got up on the first Whitsunday and said, God is now fulfilling the promise he made through Joel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The wit the Spirit gave St. Peter to interpret the scripture and to preach was so powerful that 3,000 people turned to Christ that day and were baptized. Peter was different from what he had been. I am sure one of the reasons many of us have such a tough time with the Holy Ghost is that we cannot visualize him. We know what it means to talk to a father or a son so we can generate mental pictures of them. But a ghost or a spirit is quite another matter. Jesus says the Holy Ghost is like the wind. You can see its effects on people, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. It is like trying to see the wind as it moves the branches of trees. You can see what it is doing, but you cannot see it. Today's collect takes ideas from what Jesus says in today's gospel and prays first that we will allow the Spirit to help us make good decisions, and then we will rejoice in the strength he gives us. The way to make good decisions, as the collect puts it, to have a right judgment in all things, is to learn God's standards from the Bible and then try to apply them to the actual situations we face every day. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit motivates us to study the Bible and helps us to learn from the Bible and apply the Bible's insights to all the decisions we face. And the Holy Ghost is also the one who keeps us tied to Jesus. By the Spirit, we live in God and God lives in us. And as the Spirit helps us to know, we are one with Christ. We also know that no bad decision or horrible event can ever separate us from him. He dwells in us and we in him. So let us thank God today for the holy wit which God bestows upon us by his Spirit, the same Spirit, as today's preface puts it, whereby we have been brought out of darkness and error into the clear light and true knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.